Yes, thank you, Nate, and thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here tonight. We're going to start in the book of Isaiah, and then we're going to go to Joshua, and then we're going to go to the book of Matthew. But Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to look at verse 9. And the title of my message is being Men and Women of Courage, Men and Women of Courage. Isaiah 53, 9. And while you're turning there, being Father's Day, does anybody have a testimony, a word they'd like to share? Something your father may have said to you that was just a gold nugget that blessed you and it's always stuck with you? Anybody have any gold nuggets that their dad shared with them? Yes, Brian?
I was kind of a lazy kid.
So, okay.
So my dad told me, do the hard thing.
Okay.
If you don't know what to do, do the hard thing.
I do
heard that. A lot.
Okay. Well, good to you. That's a dad speaking wisdom in your ear. Absolutely. Anybody else have a little gold nugget? Yes, Jimmy?
When we were young, my father used to say, if you steal a dime, it'll cost you a dollar down
the road. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That's a good saying. There's good wisdom in that. Anything else? Anything else your dad said? Yes, Victor?
And my father's, like he's been already very sick. Maybe to sit and have conversations, like hurt to the heart. He said, Victor, I have it very good to tell you. And he said, you know what best time to pray? I say, yeah, it's any times that's best time, Dad. He say, and then night, he say, like everybody sleep.
Mm.
He say, you up, just pray.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's the best time, he say.
Sure. Yes, because you won't be interrupted. Yes. Yes, that's tremendous, Victor. Yes, absolutely. That's some good words of wisdom there.
Yeah.
Yes, praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody else have? I remember my dad saying, the world doesn't owe you a living. Just gets kind of on the same lines what your dad was saying, Brian. You got to get out there and work. Yes. That's good wisdom. Yeah. Okay. All righty. Well, let's look at Isaiah 53:9 here. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. When I read that verse, where does that take you to? What do you think about when I read that verse? It takes you to where? Calvary. Yeah, absolutely. It takes you to Calvary. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Now, when I read those words, and with the rich in his death, where does that take you? To the grave, but who? Who's the rich?
It's not his grave.
It's not his grave. Yeah. See, in this scripture here, that he made, and with the rich in his death, who is that referring to? Well, what I'd like to do, keep that thought in mind, Book of Joshua here, just for a moment, to look at a verse, and then we're going to go head to the New Testament here. Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua had a big, don't forget Isaiah 53:9, keep that in your mind, we're heading somewhere here. Book of Joshua here, Moses died, Joshua had the promised land to take, and God gave him a word here, and verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, think about, chew on it, over and over. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee? What's those next two words? Be strong and of a good what? Courage. Now, that was written to Joshua. Joshua had a lot to do. But can that be applied to us as believers in God? Do we need to be strong and be of a good courage? Does God have something for us to do in our life? Well, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, all confused, don't know what to do. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay? That's the word for Joshua, but the application can be to you and me, because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, Isaiah 53:9, Joshua 1:9. Turn to the New Testament here, Matthew chapter 27. We're going to look at, he made his grave with the rich. We're going to look at this man here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. When the evening was come, there came a, what's those next two words in 57? A rich man. That rich man is the same rich man back in Isaiah. Before this rich man, Joseph Arimathea, ever born, God had a plan for his life. There came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now, does anybody know, in this passage in Matthew, Joseph is just mentioned, but who else was with Joseph?
Nicodemus.
Yes, that's John 19:38. Nicodemus, both of them together. Now, I want to look at Joseph of Arimathea here for a minute. You know, Arimathea was just a small Judean town, and he was part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body. What had the Sanhedrin just did to Christ? What did they just do to him? They condemned him to what? To death. Okay, but he was there. He was part of that, but he didn't want any part of that, but he was on there, but the majority condemned him to death. Now, what did he do here? He went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. He earnestly wanted the body of Jesus. He begged the body of Jesus, and he asked for. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloths and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock, rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. Now, I just want to look through here for a minute. Did Joseph of Arimathea need great courage to do what he just did? Now, where was all of his disciples at this point? Where was Jesus' disciples? They were gone. They just, because they were fearful, because if they did this to Jesus, they might do that to me, and I'm out of here. But Joseph of Arimathea, he looked at this situation. Now, it says here that he himself was whose disciple? Jesus' disciple. And for him, he's on the Sanhedrin. They just condemned Jesus. All of his disciples just left him. Who allowed Jesus to be crucified? That was Pilate. Pilate just condemned him. And he goes up to Pilate and says, hey, you know that man Jesus? I want his body. Now, what was he in the eyes of Rome? He was a, you know, Jesus was an insurrectionist, so to speak. He was a king, and he was going to set up his own king. That was what the Jews accused him of. Pilate was the one commanded Jesus to be crucified, gave the permission. And yet Joseph Arimathea goes there and says, I want Jesus. Would that have taken some courage for him to stand there and do that? Now, in Isaiah 53:9, he made his grave with the rich. That is referring to this man here, Joseph of Arimathea. Now, this tomb that he made, how much trouble did he have to go with this tomb in verse 60? He hewned it out of what? The rock. Did they have power tools back then? This was their power tool right here. This was all the power they had. They had a hammer and a piece of pipe, and they just pounded rock and knocked it till it just, that's a lot of work. Joseph Arimathea. Now, if he had a reason not to get involved in all this, he probably could have plenty. One, he's rich. Financially, is this going to profit him? No, it's not going to profit him. So that wasn't a motivating factor. Would it make him very popular with the Sanhedrin if he did this? He wouldn't be popular back with the Sanhedrin. Would he have would the disciples be cheering him on while he did this? They weren't nowhere to be what? found. They weren't going to cheer him on. What motivated him to do this?
His heart been laid, you know, God that planted seed there.
Right, the seed of faith.
Save him, you know, that time, and he did, you know, his.
Right.
He did from his heart.
Right. Now, to be courageous means that you have a situation where you have possible danger before you, possible repercussions before you, but you push through the fear, you push through the resistance to get where you need to be. Did Joseph of Arimathea have to push through some things to get where he needed to be? He sure did. He had to push through them. That's being a man, or in his case, a man, but it's applicable to men and women, that we got to be men and women of courage here in these days. Because it wasn't easy for him to say, I want Jesus. And let's turn to John chapter 19 here for a moment, verse 38. And there's something else that happened for Joseph of Arimathea. This is Passover time. Jesus died on the Passover. And he would have made himself ceremonially unclean handling a dead body. But that was of no hindrance to him, because the greater thing was not just being ceremonially clean, but to honor his Lord and Savior. John 19:38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, this is another account, a disciple of Jesus, but what's that next word in verse 38?
Secret.
Now, I want you to think about this. Okay, tonight we're here, we're believers. Now, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they were the ones that, although they had Jesus on the inside, it was clothed, so to speak, because they weren't quite ready to make that bold declaration that I am his. For Joseph of Arimathea, he came to this point in his life, and well, before we get into this, let's just set this up. Turn to John chapter 3 for a minute. How about Nicodemus here? What does it say in John chapter 3 about Nicodemus? What was he came to Jesus by what? By night, because of what? Fear of the Jews. Yes. Verse 2 of John 3, there came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no miracle can do. He was like, you know, I want to talk to you, Jesus, but let's do this when everybody else is sleeping and nobody's around to see us. And he came to Jesus by night, because fear of the Jews. Well, in verse 38 of John 19, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which came at the first to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh, aloes, and 100 pounds weight, and took the body of Jesus, wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, in the manner the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never a man was yet laid. And they laid, there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, it's Passover, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Okay, to be courageous sometimes, is it good to have somebody with you? Did Joseph encourage Nicodemus, or did Nicodemus encourage Joseph? Maybe both together. But they were making a public statement here, because this was huge, because they both were fearful. They both were secrets. But at this point in time, that scripture back in Isaiah 53:9, I wonder if when Joseph of Arimathea, when he was a little boy in the synagogues, and he might have read that, did he realize that might have application for him? I wonder if he even connected that. But in the process of time, his maturing in the faith, God moving in his life, these things intersecting together, it all came together. But he had great courage here to come and ask for the body of Jesus. And the thing what we want to do as God's people, God works in our life, but there's coming a time when you have to confess Jesus is Lord. You have to make that declaration that I am one of his. And I'm thinking of a scripture here, and I think it's Matthew 10:38. I wasn't planning on this, but let me turn there. I think that's what I'm looking for. Look at this here in verse 30. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross, dying to self, all your will. He that taketh his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. And he that loses life, Lord, I give you my life. I'm not my own anymore. Do whatever you want with me. For my sake shall what? Find it. Did Joseph of Arimathea, say that fast three times. Did he lose his life some point in his heart? Did he give up his life? He did when he confessed Jesus before everybody. Because you don't think they were watching him when he went up to the cross and took him down? What are you doing? Do you see that? He was identifying himself with Jesus Christ. Courage. That took courage to do that. And he's a good man. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus. They were good men. And God used them in the process of events for the resurrection. Now, what applications can we make? Be thou not dismayed, be of good courage, for I am with thee. What applications can we make in our lives here? From Joseph of Arimathea. What applications can we make?
Whatever it takes, be a Christian.
Whatever it takes, be a Christian, okay? If you want to save your life, I'm not part of that crowd. Don't count me in. I want to save my life. You're going to lose it one day. But if you say, hey, I'm all in. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you're not going to be what? Ashamed. That takes courage. Okay? What's another application we can make about Joseph of Arimathea? What else can we say? Okay. He went against the crowd. Crowd was, he saved himself. He saved others. He can't save himself. Yeah, he went against the crowd. That's a good point, Brian. Absolutely went against the crowd. Do you have to stand alone sometimes as God's servant? You do. You have to stand alone. But when you stand alone, be assured you're not the first believer that ever had to stand alone. Okay.
You did say he brought Nicodemus.
Okay.
Once he made his decision, he did have somebody to
right.
stand with him then.
Yes. And that's good. There's wisdom. If you got a tough situation, and maybe they had some long talks about the Messiah, and they both each came to a saving knowledge of him, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. If you had a tough job to do, get somebody to go with you and strengthen you. Okay? Good thought.
And they've been eyewitnesses, like Jesus died.
Right.
They saw all that darkness. They
yes.
saw that, hate, But they saw that.
Yes.
And they know that that's impossible.
Right.
What they saw.
Yes. And the things they saw, I think God's Holy Spirit just bear witness. Because when that centurion cried out, truly, that was the Son of God, I think God's presence was there. And because when Jesus was in the garden, and he come to the men and said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And what did he say? He said, I am. And what did they do? They fell back. That was God speaking. There's a certain power in God is there. And I think at the cross, it was just overpowering. And Joseph Arimathea, he said, I'm all in. He said, I'm all in on this thing. Okay, some good thoughts here tonight.
Well, I think, Pastor, I think of Joseph and Nicodemus. All right, they were secret disciples. We have a lot of secret Christians.
Okay. And what would you say to those secret Christians, Fred? What would be your...
So you got to stand up.
Okay, stand up and be counted. That's right. Absolutely. You got to stand up.
The Bible says, those that honor me, I will honor.
Okay.
And I think Joseph was honoring Jesus in his death.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
Because of that, his name is in Scripture here.
Yes.
In an honorable way.
Right.
He was an honorable man.
Right. And he was fulfilling Scripture in Isaiah 53:9. He made his grave with the rich. Yes, he honored the Lord. And when we give a good testimony before others, we honor God. Good thoughts. Any other thoughts here tonight? Anything else we can learn from Joseph Arimathea? Well, we got a week ahead of us. What are we going to do with it? I remember years ago, I was working at a factory, and I had a man came up to me, and he just looked at me. I was all new. I was this young kid. And he looked at me and said, are you a Christian? And just for a split second, I didn't know if I wanted to say or not because I didn't know who he was. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, he could be on the other side of the fence. And if I said, yeah, I'm a Christian, then maybe he has something against Christians. I wasn't, you know, inside of me, I didn't know how to quite answer it because I didn't know who I was talking to. And I said, and then I just said, yes, I am. He said, great. He said, I thought you were because I saw you over here talking to some guys and he heard me witnessing to him. And he worked in another department. And anyway, he just wanted to come up and meet me. But you know, for that second there, I didn't know who I was talking to. But, you know, I said to myself, I'm not going to say I'm not because I am. And that's what God would have us do, to have that bold witness. I'll close with this story. I had a friend, Rick Amato. He went to when Soviet Union was first opening up, and they call it? Perestroika? Am I saying that right?
Perestroika.
How do you say it, Victor?
Perestroika.
Perestroika. Okay, what does that mean?
That's change.
Change, okay? Okay. And so people could go to Moscow and Red Square and preach where they never could before. And so Rick Amato went there to Red Square to preach. And then he went out in the parks and would hand out Bibles to people, you know, kind of like an evangelistic outreach. Well, he was at his hotel room late at night and somebody knocked on his door. And this big guy looked at him and he came to the door and said, what were you giving out in the park this afternoon? And at that moment, Rick Amato didn't know who this guy was because KGB, he didn't know what was going to happen. And in his mind, part of him wanted to say, I wasn't giving out anything, but the other part of him knew he was giving out Bibles. So what he decided, went back to his room, got a Bible and said, this is what I was giving out. And the guy goes, I thought so. I've been wanting one of these all my life and took it and just walked down the hallway with it. Does that take courage? Is that willing to stand alone, even though you may have some consequences? But see, that's what Joseph Arimathea, he was one that says, I want to honor God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me, my Savior, and I'm not going to be ashamed of him. And he went and took the body and buried it. And that's for all of us, because we have to get to that point where we surrender. Well, let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the life and story of Joseph Arimathea. And I pray, Lord, that we would have the courage as believers this week not to be ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so, Lord, help us as believers to have that courage that Joshua had. And the Lord, that we could be part of your divine program. Lord, Joseph Arimathea, when he was a little boy in the synagogues, he probably had no idea that When Isaiah 53:9 referred to his activities on the time when Jesus died on the cross. So Lord, help us to be part of your divine program. Lord, that you would build the kingdom of God through each of us and through our lives. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Lord, I just pray that each of us will be kingdom builders courageously this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.